Today we're joined by Stephen Milner of Gen2 Fund Services, Scott Zimmerman of EY, and Ian Cameron of the Washington State Investment Board. Gentlemen, welcome to PrivCap today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
So transparency has become a very important topic in private equity, and now fee transparency is a very hot topic. The ILPA has come out with standards. The SEC is looking into it. Ian, from your perspective, where did this huge focus on fee transparency come from, and why is there such a level of concern around it?
Well, I think a lot of it did originate with the SEC and some of the comments they made probably, what, about 4 or 5 years ago now in, I think the article is titled Spreading Sunshine in Private Equity. I think that really brought a lot of this into the limelight and a big focus. Since then, you know, we've talked a lot about how there's been greater transparency. I think the standard now is some level of transparency. I mean, what that does for an investor and a GP is there's a confidence and trust building that's going on. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the more that they can be, you know, candid and kind of show us how these fees are going to be allocated, what's going to be offset against managed fees, what's not going to be, so there aren't any surprises. You know, it's always disconcerting to us when you have, you know, an SEC investigation on a particular GP only to find out there was some misallocation or accelerated management fee or something else going on.
So Ian's 100% right. The awareness campaign of the SEC started it all. And I think private equity has different types of fees and expenses where you have a transaction fee, you have capital fees, you just have different stuff that over the years has become kind of shared between the manager and the LP. So it just creates a natural tension in, well, wait a minute, if you're getting that money, you know, are you really allocating it the right way? What we've seen now is managers actually reach out to accounting firms, to auditing firms that come in, and start to provide some procedures over that where they can deliver an opinion to the LP. It's not an audit, but it's, you know, an agreed upon procedures, a low level attestation, but it's there.
If you look at side letters that limited partners impose upon general partners, you'll see more language in there that says they want an attestation from the chief operating officer of the fund. They want that attestation to be clear and transparent as to how the fees were calculated. You look at side letters, you'll also see things that they want to have an agreed upon model in advance as to how the carried interest works. So there, the awareness that the SEC has put forth has in fact rippled through to all the market participants.
Yeah, and I think the industry itself was weak before. We talked about, you know, there'd be one paragraph in an LPA where now you've got pages of documents describing these expenses. And I think that really was from this SEC push. When they went in there, they realized, you know, it wasn't that you could call out the GPs as having done something wrong. There was nothing in there prescribing how it was going to work. And so they did it in whatever way they felt was appropriate.
The complexity about how transactions are executed has gone up in nature. And so when you look at the growth of the private equity, it's, I think, a natural, as Scott said, the governance needed to catch up with the asset class, and now you're starting to see that.
I would imagine that on the firm level, an increased focus on how fees are allocated has to trickle down to everyone in the firm, right? And how it's a cultural transformation. How is that going so far?
Well, let me give you an example of how low it goes. So we see this because we serve as private equity funds, as you know. We also work on the management company where these expenses are, in fact, incurred. So somebody takes a trip to visit a portfolio company. They have to fill out their expense report. They're actually making the decision. When they fill out that expense report, that's where the allocation takes place. So that can occur in the back of a taxi. That can occur in an airplane, or that can occur in somebody's office or by an executive assistant. So that's where it starts. So you can appreciate how something fairly simple all of a sudden has so much significance.
Give an example of how on that trip an expense 1 minute would go to one place versus, you know, 2 minutes later you'd have an expense going someplace else.
So I'll give you Murky. So Murky is client wants to visit a portfolio company. Let's say that portfolio company is in Asia and the fund is in the United States. So fly over to Asia, that's a pretty expensive trip, takes a lot of time. Sponsor meets with their portfolio company, spends a day or two there, and says, you know, while I'm here and I spent all this money to come over, I'm going to go meet with some of the larger, you know, investment banks about other opportunities that I might be interested in. And so sponsor spends a couple extra days meeting with investment banks and it comes back. So now the question is, how do you charge that? Clearly, the portfolio company side is pretty straightforward. That's either going to be billed back to the portfolio company or the fund. But now what about that other work that was done away from the portfolio company is that research. Generally speaking, research is a manager expense as opposed to a fund expense. And so that's general. Each fund is different. But now you have something that had two purposes, and how do you consider that?
And so this could possibly be an associate at a private equity firm that has to allocate what part of the trip was going towards research versus...
Exactly. It goes back to someone's got to fill out the expense report now, and that judgment is made when that expense report is being completed.
And the private equity funds are not simple structures internally. You know, so you say the allocation piece of it is something that gets a lot of our attention now more than it probably has before, making sure that exactly as Steve described, it's about looking and saying, well, what's the appropriate place where this is going to be charged to? You know, broken deal costs are another one. You know, they have multiple entities that might run in parallel investing in the same vehicle. So how do they share those expenses and not overburden the primary fund? But some of these other sidecars that are going on, are they kind of picking up their fair share of the expenses? So I think it kind of gets down to that level too. Lots of complexity.
You need to have policies. You need to have procedures. You need a roadmap. You need compliance to make sure that these, you know, investment professionals, whoever's out there, is complying with that policy. There needs to be review. It's not just up to the guy, you know, to write it down. So I think that's where, you know, things are maturing and everybody's getting used to it now. There's technology out there to help you do that instead of in the back of the taxi.